Break on through to your ass.
Awesome noise. What's up, everybody? Hope you're enjoying another podcast, episode number 14, where we talk to Jamie from Rise Among Rivals. How did we even hear about them?
Because they, wasn't it Rise Among Rivals used to be, Guns Out at Sundown? A couple of the members used to be Guns Out at Sundown, and then they created Rise Among Rivals.
Is that what it was?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, because if we talk to Jamie, yeah, that's probably right.
But Mr. Jamie McElroy, who we interviewed, is no longer a part of Rise Among Rivals, but still a lot of good information in this interview about the band. And
their current, let's see, there's six. Oh,
we're
just going
to jump in the current, aren't we?
Tracks. No, we talked to them about their new self-entitled
I thought you were going to go into current information. I'm like, let's not wait till the end of the show. Let's just get it out of the way now.
And there were six tracks on there, and Empty Love Scene was the one that they had done a video for and the one we talked to them about. Jamie was very fun. He was very interesting. Great band, you know, Rise Among Rivals. They're just great sound.
Never mind.
So
I was going to say something, but it's for the end of the show.
Yes, at the end of the show. You just yelled at me for speaking out of turn. So anyway.
Yeah.
So I think we need to let them hear the interview for themselves. They can make their own deductions, but I think they're going to think Rise Among Rivals is awesome.
So
let's shut the hell up and let them hear it.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm making fun
anyway.
Of her. I'm making fun of her. That's her. What's the word I'm looking for?
Filler.
Yeah.
That's your filler. That fills the empty spaces.
That's her filler. She doesn't do the ums and uhs. No. She says so.
I hate I hate that word. So
enjoy the show.
Okay.
Enjoy the interview.
Son of a bitch. It's Jenna and Jim from House of Noise. How are you?
How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much. What's going on with you, other than talking to us?
Not too much. No. You know, just rocking out, you know?
Yeah. Same old situation. Everybody does that every day, I hope.
Yeah, and congratulations on the EP release.
Yes. How was that?
Thank you. We sold out, so it was a pretty good show. We did 250-ish people.
Nice.
But it was a really good time.
Well, that had to have felt great.
Yeah, it was wild. We did a cool foam finger promotion. We were giving out free foam fingers to fans. So there's a couple cool pics of us, like with all the fans with, you know, their foam hands on behind us. It was pretty cool.
It was funny because I was going to ask you, is there any way of still getting one of those foam hands, or are they all gone?
We have a couple left. If you want me to mail one out to you, I can do that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we Facebook Live our show, so we'd love to have a foam hand to incorporate in our Facebook Live to show people.
Definitely can do that for you.
Very cool. So I do have an off-topic question, because we were trying to figure this out, and maybe you can help us with our confusion, because we don't quite understand the whole entire Facebook Live when people join it. Like, do you know, how does that work?
Basically, you just go live, and then it sends a notification to all your friends or whoever follows your page, wherever you're kind of doing it live from. And then they can just hop on there and look at it
Yeah, but we're trying to figure out
comment or like, whatever.
We see that people have joined, but nobody's watching. So we're just wondering, what's the difference between joining and watching? I mean, obviously watching, they're watching, but what is joined? Does that...
Join means that they clicked on the notification, probably.
Okay.
Watching would be active people who are actually there. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you taking a moment to talk about something not related to the van, but answering our question.
I know. It was totally boggling our minds. We're like, what the hell does joined mean? What is going on?
Yeah, it fluctuates a lot. I've done that a couple of times. Yeah. I've gone live a few times, and it just, you get a lot of notifications saying people joined, and then the number of watching fluctuates as people see it scrolling through the Facebook or whatever, but it changes.
Do you guys, speaking of going live on Facebook, is that something you guys have done?
Not in this band yet. We definitely have talked about it. It's definitely something we want to utilize in the future, but I'm not sure in what capacity yet. In my previous project, we had done it doing like acoustic nights kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Right. And the turnout was pretty good, but it's a little lackluster with audio based stuff a little bit. So kind of has to be the right thing.
Right. True, true. You want to get the best sound, especially when you're performing live.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there are ways to send it to a board and make it sound nice and then send it to Facebook, but we haven't really delved into it all that much.
Right, right. So, EP release party sold out. As you guys were performing, what kind of reaction did people show to your performance? What did you observe?
I had strobe lights blinding me the whole time. So
that's all you could see.
It was mainly that. But we got off stage and people were amped. It was a high energy show. The lighting helped a ton with that. Mm-hmm. The sound was awesome. We could hear everything. Fans were super into it between songs, during songs. This is our first EP, so we didn't expect anybody to really know any of the words or anything like that, but I definitely saw a couple of people singing in the front row, so that was good to see.
Well, it's pretty catchy.
For our singles. So.
Mm-hmm.
It is catchy, so, it's easy to sing along, too.
It is. Do you?
Yeah, you hear it a couple of times, you kind of get it already. Yeah. So
you do.
But I did see on Facebook, I was scrolling through there and kind of Facebook stalking you guys, because obviously I'm going to interview you, but I did see there was a couple of haters on there, like, saying something about you guys selling out and stuff like that, and I thought your answer to that.
I run all the Facebook, social media stuff, so, I'm the one who's commenting to people, and honestly, I love haters. It's fun.
It is.
Whatever, who cares?
I thought your response was great, though.
It was the question mark guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But
it's you're gonna
doing, people are gonna hate on you for it. And I think it's just funny, we all have day jobs.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have sold out for all, what it's worth. I mean, for any band that wants to quote make it or, do this for a living and make money enjoyably and playing music you love, selling out's kind of a goal.
Right.
So, yeah, let's do it,
Yeah, exactly.
Sell out, let's freaking do it,
Yeah, nobody wants to play for free.
No.
It costs money to go out and tour and play music. So, you're going to want to make money doing it.
Is that something that you guys discovered? Because I know you did a short tour with Flaw. Is that, I've heard people mention the pay to play and all that. Is that something that you guys had to deal with?
No, actually for that tour we didn't. Flaw brought us on for that. It was kind of contingent with our previous project that I actually wasn't a part of. I was in a band called Violence and Vanity, and our drummer Chris was in a band called Guns Out at Sundown. Both of our bands broke up at the same time, and we kind of just joined forces, and that's kind of the very, very brief story of how we formed.
Yeah.
And Guns Out at Sundown actually had a tour scheduled with Flaw. It was that 1 week tour that we went on with them. Okay. So when the band broke up, they still had those dates, so they were rushing to try to find a singer, which is where they found Dave for Violence and Vanity. And then they had me join in, and then it was me and Dave from Violence of Vanity and Mike Dennis on guitar and Chris Tepper on drums from Guns Out.
Right.
And we just we went down to the studio, wrote a bunch of songs, got something together, and then went on tour like a month and a half later.
Yeah, actually,
so it was very rushed process, but.
But yeah, we're both fans of Guns Out, and I actually follow Mike on Facebook, and he, you know, put it on there that he was going down there to support you guys, and I think that's, you know, that's very cool. You know, it doesn't sound like he has any bad blood or anything like that.
No bad blood whatsoever. Mike's a great dude. We love him. Oh, we love seeing him out of the show. It meant a ton to us. So.
Well, yeah, we had a blast talking to him after the show that we saw him at the Machine Shop a while back.
Yeah. Well, I was glad to see that, you know, there was a marriage between you guys, but I can imagine it's pretty stressful when you're in a band and then you're suddenly not a band anymore.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very stressful few months. Kind of the backstory, I guess I can kind of dive into it. Jim, our current guitarist, mm-hmm. I've known him since I was 7.
Aww.
He's been one of my best friends
That's cool.
for a long time. And we were in a band in high school together. And he moved to Iowa for college. I moved to Pennsylvania. And we ended up reconnecting when he moved back home after college.
Oh, very
and
cool.
As soon as Violence and Vanity broke up, I decided I wanted to start a project with him because his old band broke up, too. It was like everyone's bands were breaking up at the same time. It was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
So me, him, and Dave were going to work together on a project, which we had started. It wasn't official. We didn't have a Facebook page or anything like that, but we mm-hmm. were working on songs together, looking for a drummer. And Dave got the call to go down to the studio with Guns Out, so he went. And then they slowly picked us each up one at a time. Because Mike couldn't do it anymore, so we pulled Jim on. So it kind of worked out in the end for all of us. But it was kind of a emotional and stressful roller coaster for a little bit.
Right. So, well, I bet you're... I guess it's a good thing now because you guys have probably less stress, but your stress now is a different kind of stress where it's like...
Yeah, stress now is like just get the music to everyone we freaking can, you know? Like, before it was, let's get the music together. We need to get a lineup that works and be able to play these songs live in the way we want to. And
right.
I think we finally hit that mark and we can breathe for a half second before we... you know, push it more.
Well, isn't it nice that you guys have, because at this point I would assume you guys have pretty much gelled and you have that necessary cohesion to be a band. And
you guys have all come, you know, together and you're all like, this is exactly where we all want to go type thing. I mean, obviously there's going to be a little bumps here and there, but
I mean, this is the first project that I feel pretty safe in saying, like, our heads are all in the right direction for the most part. I think every musician's been in bands where, you know, people didn't gel together or mesh together really well.
Yeah.
And this one, we all have our eye on the prize and we all want to walk down the same road. It's not like we want to, you know, take different paths to get there or, you know, what. Different musical paths or whatever kind of path it is. So I think it's really good for us that we're all kind of on the same terms with the band itself. And it's made things a lot easier actually in the long run.
Do you guys equally share in songwriting and creating your musical
projects? Yeah, tell something about somebody creating something on the John.
Yeah. Is that the best place to write is on the John?
Yes.
I've done some of my best thinking on the John.
Yeah, we all kind of push our own little bits in there. I think everything after this EP is going to be more us, I guess, because all of us are a part of it. Jim had a little bit of say in the EP, but since he's brought on kind of late, like some of the songs he didn't touch. I'm the same way. Like I didn't touch a couple of them. But from here on out, it's going to be us four doing our thing. So.
Oh, okay. Now I know there's only 6 tracks on the EP currently. Have you continued to write? Are you continuing to write to eventually release a full LP. Album?
I don't know if we're going to release a full LP or not. I don't know what form any of these newer songs are going to take. We haven't really decided marketing-wise what's going to be best for us at this point. But we are writing. We are actually going back in the studio on the 21st of this month. So we're getting right back at it. We don't plan on releasing these songs probably for a little bit, and that's okay. We just want to kind of fill out our live set a little bit because we only do have the 6 songs. But we're trying to do a little bit of like quality control so that the production value on those 6 songs is the same as anything we're currently writing and vice versa. So we're not playing a set where we have 6 songs that sound really, really, really good and then like 2 songs that are like flat, you know, doesn't make any sense to us. So we want to have songs that are exciting and fun and upbeat and, you know, catchy and has the same value as our EP does.
You don't want to just throw something together because sometimes it sounds like it was thrown together.
Exactly.
Right.
So I was kind of curious about your music videos. So did you film both of them at the same time and then just release the one and then wait to release the other? I mean, they do look similar.
Yeah, they are visually similar. We use the same videographer. His name's Tom Flynn.
Okay.
Out of New York. We actually found him through a friend, I believe, or a friend's video, and we contacted him. Awesome dude. We went up to the Bronx, I guess it was in February, I guess, to do the first music video.
Okay.
And we loved working with him a lot, so then we decided to bring him down to us in Maryland, and he recorded the second one for us.
All right.
Just to try to push this EP out a little bit more.
Did you guys finish the shoot for that in one day?
Yeah, we did both of those in a day each. So.
Really?
It was a long, stressful day.
I can only imagine, but that's impressive.
Thank you.
So what made you guys decide?
A lot of setup and a lot of.
So what made you guys? Sorry. So what made you guys decide to do the video before? Did you already have all the whole EP already done, or did you do the music video and then finish, you know, recording?
The EP was mainly done probably like a month ago. Probably like early May, it was finished completely.
Okay.
We had the master for Empty Love Scene, so we decided to get that music video out just so we had something out that we could push.
Just so it was just to get the word out and show people what you were about.
Exactly.
That's kind of what I figured. I just thought I'd ask.
And then with Spiteful Eyes, we had all the songs at that point. We were like, we need to push something else out. So we did the music video for that. It took a little bit longer to get it, you know, done, but then we were able to push it out before the show, which actually helped us, you know, sell out the show, I think. It kind of got some last-minute ticket buyers to come in and show up live, so.
I think so.
That definitely helped, too.
So, I know as far as promotion and marketing that back in the day it was all about being on a label, and I know now not so much, but to a certain extent it is easier to have some kind of label backing, at least on a financial aspect. You alluded that you guys have jobs outside of the, you know, the band and everything. So having that, does that help you guys with the promotion, marketing, the financial aspect of managing a band?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, supplementing income as much as we can. I mean, we're trying to become self-sustaining as a project and then hopefully, you know, make money for us in the long run, obviously.
Well, you sell out.
I mean, we're trying to sell out. We're doing a pretty good job. We're doing a pretty good job with maintaining budget, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, every cent that goes into this band is equally split between the four of us.
Good.
And it's just, we're trying to become like self-sustaining. So we're getting there. I own a t-shirt printing company.
Yeah.
So I do all of our own merch. So that helps keep costs down
a
lot.
Which is super cool.
So that definitely helps. And it lets us have a lot of merch options at shows. So we sell more merch. for cheaper and make more money on it. So that helps us, you know, give back, and then we can go record or, you know, get more merch or whatever the case is. So I think the next goal is probably to get on some sort of tour that'll help us, you know, push forward a little bit more and get more attention towards our music.
Well, you are off to a good start. I mean, selling out on your EP release, that's amazing.
I mean,
was it a little surprising, actually, or no?
Honestly, it was. The couple days before were very, very stressful getting everything together. And I mean, in Maryland, people will call it pay to play. It's really not. It's selling tickets. It's promoting your band. So we worked our butts off and sold a bunch of tickets. And 2 weeks before the show, I would have never thought it would have sold out. But we got a lot of last minute people to be like, do you still have tickets? Do you still have tickets? Like, I really want to come. Mm-hmm. And we all four of us, and even our spouses and girlfriends really pushed us to, you know, get these tickets sold. And, you know, we ended up selling out. I think it caps at 250. We sold like 196 tickets ourselves.
Wow.
So the other two bands pushed, you know, helped us push get there. But we definitely had the majority of the show.
Cool.
Musically, your background, what is your musical background in?
Personally?
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Growing up, I was a big funk kid.
Really?
I loved, like, Tower of Power and James Brown and Chili Peppers and, you know, rock in general.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my sister used to shove, like, Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson down my throat, too, when I was really young. So I had a very quick experience with curse words, which was fun. Industrial rock for me. It's kind of all over the place. It really rollercoastered. I love funky bass lines, and I don't really play many in this band, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I have my moments, and that's all that I need. So.
Right.
But I mean, I generally listen to more like acoustic rock stuff, like City and Color, more than anything else. Just because it's, you know, I get to let my anger out on stage. I don't need to when I'm at the gym or anything like that. So I just kind of try to mellow out when I'm off stage a little bit.
Yeah, because being on stage is pretty intense. You need that downtime to kind of center yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. You got to have, you know, ups and downs. That's just life in general. Yeah. So.
Well, amen to that. Life can be like a roller coaster ride. And sometimes you're like, how in the hell do I get off this thing?
Yes.
So do you guys all, you know, I'm curious about one thing, because I know technology is awesome, and especially if you don't live in the same area. Do you guys, how does that work as far as practice, and do you guys live in the same
vicinity,
or is there some logistical nightmares to get to?
Yeah, we're pretty close. Dave, Chris, and I, the singer, drummer, and myself live in the same town.
Oh,
which is super convenient.
Yes.
I live 10 minutes from our singer's house, which is where we have practice. Jim lives a little bit further away. He's about, it could be 25 to 40 minutes, depending on traffic. He's like, basically, there's Baltimore City. We're on the underside of it, and he's on the north side of it. So, in suburbs. So, he has to travel all the way around our beltway to get just to practice. And I used to travel 2 hours for band practice when I lived in Pennsylvania, or I went to practice in Pennsylvania from Maryland, and it was, you know, 2 hours once a week. It was awful.
Wow.
I understand Jim, you know, not wanting to come to practice every once in a while. I totally get it. The drive sucks.
Right.
But he's good about it. He comes to practice, and he's always rearing to go, and he's probably the glue, honestly.
Yeah.
A little bit in this band, just to, like, get us motivated and get us going. To practice.
Well, you need somebody like that.
A good thing.
Right. How often, you know, when you're going to do a live performance, do you guys have a protocol as far as the practice aspect of it to kind of get yourselves warmed up? Is it once a week, twice a week, like, or?
We typically go twice a week, depending on if we have a show or if we, you know, we're recording the music video or something like that. Then it's usually just once a week because it kind of, it messes with our schedules a bit. Like, I work a 9-to-5. Chris works at a liquor store and a bar, so oh. his schedule shifts around a lot. Dave does, you know, HVAC work, so oh, his, wow. his work shifts around a lot. Jim works as, like, a teacher right now, and he also coaches football, so his schedule can shift a lot depending oh, on yeah. the season. I think we're moving forward. We're doing two practices a week. And kind of trying to stick to that as much mm-hmm. as possible. One of the practices is like just a run through day, just running the set a couple times and just making sure it's good to go. And the other practice would be more of a relaxed day where we can write, work on a set, work on very specific intricate things if we need to, tightening up all the loose screws kind of thing.
Okay.
What
I was going to ask, what's your pre-show warm-up like?
Mine is usually just setting up the merch booth, and that's just how I, it's just, it calms me. I love dealing with organization, so
yeah.
okay.
Organizing all the shirts and stuff. Dave likes to do a vocal warm-up, and we have a lot of live harmonies, so I usually do that with him. We actually didn't do it for the EP release show, which is weird,
yeah.
but it was still great. And we used to start each practice with a vocal warm-up kind of thing. It would just be us singing through all the harmonies okay. just a couple of times just to, like, warm the, you know, warm our voices up before we're, you know, screaming our heads off kind of thing.
Right.
Right. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, pre-show stuff for me, I don't have, like, a ritual or anything like that. Just kind of.
No, I just ask.
Do what comes naturally.
There's a lot of bands that do. There's a lot of musicians that, you know, do push-ups or, you know, do, yeah, I don't know.
Anything just, to get the blood pumping.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I'm curious about one thing, and I just thought about this. So you guys just had a live performance, and I'm sure there were people there with their cell phones, because we all know this is the way of the world now, where people are Facebook Living it or recording it with their phones.
Yeah.
Would that be something where you might encourage the people that were at the show or fans to post that on your page?
Yeah, I mean, it's up to them, honestly.
Right.
I like seeing it myself because I can judge my performance a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with it that I do see, it's kind of a Facebook Live thing I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The audio is always terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't want to judge how we sound. It's more of like how I look.
Right.
For me specifically, I know I have a tendency to look down instead of out at the crowd a lot.
Right.
Well, it's kind of hard when there's strobe lights blasting your face.
Really hard on. So
yeah. it's hard when you're being blinded by strobe lights, though.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, no. I think all of us are very critical about ourselves, and we're very open to criticism too. So. You know, especially when we're playing locally, we have a lot of friends and bands here that came. A lot of people telling us, you know, I would have liked to see this over this. You know, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Oh yeah.
You know, taking that and molding it to fit us is always something we're down to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Whenever anybody has, you know, live video or whatever, I'd love to see it. I definitely encourage people to post it because that's just one more time maybe someone else finds us.
Right.
Right. And that's actually
go ahead.
I just thought of something else. Crap. I hate that when I'm like, I think of something off the vein of, oh, it'll come to me in a second. So I'll ask you a different question. So as far as touring, I know you guys want to get on a larger tour, but until then, are you just going to try and do, you know, shows, local shows, or
like what's in the works, I guess?
Yeah,
we're doing a couple local shows just to kind of keep the momentum going a little bit. Obviously right now we're we're promoting this album release. So that's kind of the main focus. We do work with an awesome marketing guy. He's a buddy of mine from college. He really helps us a lot with like getting our Facebook views up and all that kind of stuff. So he's working on a campaign right now that's kind of tying in our shows to our videos on Facebook and kind of like cross promoting them a little bit to try to encourage people to come out and see us when we come to their town. We do like playing out of state, so we're trying to maybe get a couple little weekends going where, you know, one weekend we'll hit Ohio or one weekend we'll hit, you know, we'll go south for 4 days or something and mm-hmm. not do like a full-fledged tour.
Right.
Just to kind of get our foot in the door in these venues or get, you know, new contacts down in those areas so that when we do get a tour, we can actually bring some people out.
Right.
And make it kind of a full-fledged thing for us instead of like, oh, we're just supporting this band.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'd rather it be, you know, a party with whoever we're with and make it a bigger ordeal than it actually is.
Right. Okay. Right. And then I know, would you guys be opposed to touring with a band that maybe isn't quite in your genre or the style of music that you play? I mean, I'm not saying tour with a country band because that's like two different ends of the spectrum.
That's apples and oranges,
but
yeah.
I know, you know, maybe a band who's incorporated a little bit more of like a digital aspect
like
to their music.
Yeah, absolutely. We brought a band that we're friends with from North Carolina called Lowborn up to our show for our EP release show. We met them when we were down recording, and they're really cool dudes. They're more of like, they call themselves emo pop, but it's like dark electronic rock.
Okay.
Like catchy stuff.
Right.
And I think it paired pretty well with our sound, even though it's kind of a different genre. I'm not opposed to, you know, touring with someone big if the fan base works, for sure.
Yeah.
Or someone different and big. I don't, you know, who cares?
Okay.
If it works, it works. I mean,
yeah.
Flaw for us isn't really the same.
No, not
same,
at all.
You know?
Yeah.
And it kind of, it worked pretty well. I think, I mean, people liked our stuff and people like Flaw. So
yeah, which is,
worked out well in that.
Right, which is nice.
Yeah, Flaw's got a pretty solid fan base. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no matter where you go, people know of Flaw, so they're going to come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I just remembered the question I was going to ask you. As speaking of mm-hmm. fans and whatnot, you know, when you change bands for whatever reason, there's always that potential to lose a part of that fan base. So when you guys joined forces, did you still maintain the fans that had followed you from your original band? So they just kind of came across the river to follow you guys, or?
I think it was easier for me and Dave from Violence and Vanity. The tone of the songs is very similar between these two projects. I think it was more of an issue when Guns Out changed because they were more of a metal band.
Right.
Obviously, and they, yeah. You know.
I still made the transition.
True, we did.
No, I, a lot of people did make the transition, but we had a lot of kickback from some of like the true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, metalhead Guns Out guys. And honestly, like, I don't blame them. Like, if it's not what they want, it's not what they want. I can't make them want my band. You know,
true,
there's nothing I can do besides playing Guns Out songs. But that just doesn't make sense to us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not even the same singer. So,
yeah.
It didn't, you know, pushing that forward wasn't really, like, a huge concern of ours.
Right.
We knew going forward, you know, we converted the Guns Out page to our page. So we knew going forward that like we were going to lose fans and mm-hmm. or lose likes or however you want to describe it.
Yeah.
But honestly, I was surprised at the amount of people who were like, "I miss Guns Out, but this is really cool still."
Yeah.
And
that's me.
The fact that they stayed is a huge, you know, thank you everyone who might be listening. That yes, like thank you. You know.
Yeah. Well, I heard.
I'm glad people are accepting it.
Yeah, I heard. When I heard Empty Love Song, That's why I reached out to you guys, because I saw the video and heard the song and I was like, okay, we have to interview them because I absolutely love the song. And then,
well, you'd already interviewed the guys.
I talked to Mike from Guns Out a couple of years ago. So I was happy to see the continuation. And then I heard the song and I'm like, oh my God, I love this. You know, and then Spiteful, I mean, it's amazing. Both songs are beautiful.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And so I was happy that we were able to connect and come together, so to speak.
Well, your singer's got a great voice. Yeah. I mean, you guys got a great riff and, you know, it all comes together and I think it makes a very cohesive sound and I do enjoy it.
Yes. Yeah. So
we do too.
Yeah. Well, I can tell, which is nice. And I think that comes through in the song and in the video that you guys are really having fun and enjoying what you're doing, which is important ultimately.
Absolutely.
So tell our listeners.
I got one more question.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
So we're going to start doing Rock on the Range every year, and we're getting a suite every year, too. So if you happen to make it out to Rock on the Range, would you be willing to come up to our suite and have a drink with us?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Cool. We'll have to put the foam hand on the door.
That's right. We're going to put the foam hand on the door.
We'll put the foam hand under the door.
You know what? I take it back. We're not going to do it. We're going to go up to your tent and just stare at you.
Oh, that would be interesting, but that might weird me out. I'm just saying.
Well, this year we had the guys from Bubble Flex come up. So I think I'm trying to see how many bands we can get up there and hang out with us. So
that would be fun.
So if you happen to make it out,
that'd be a party.
That would be a party.
If you happen to make it out, you're more than welcome to come up to our suite and hang out.
Which that would be great, and I could see you guys playing Rock on the Range.
Oh yeah,
so. Yeah. We would love to get on the festival circuit.
Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Well.
We're working on it.
Yes.
Yeah, they're only getting bigger and bigger every year too.
Oh yeah, definitely. So one last question as far as the availability for people to get a hand on the music, merchandise, anything related to your product. What are some places, what are the best places for people to do that?
Sure. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAmongRivals. You can follow our Instagram. That's @RiseAmongRivals. Our merch store is riseamongrivals.bigcartel.com. We also have our videos up on YouTube as well. If you want to just search Rise Among Rivals, you'll find us right there. So,
well, awesome. Jamie, I appreciate you talking to us tonight.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. And I truly wish you guys the best of luck. We'll continue to do what we can here on House of Noise to support you. And I will send you the link to the podcast when it's up. So you guys can share it and listen and critique us. This time.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, wait, what kind?
And we'll hopefully be back on sometime soon when we're a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I hope you guys, I'm looking forward to when you come to Michigan, and I definitely see it happening. So, what?
We'll definitely give you a call when we're in your town for sure.
And what kind of drinks are we going to have when you do come up to the suite?
Or when they come to Michigan.
Or when you come to Michigan.
I'm a whiskey bourbon guy. So.
Okay.
Jameson is cool with me or whatever. I don't care.
We actually have a really good Traverse City whiskey that we found. So
we did.
We'll let you try that out.
Then that's what we're going to drink.
There we go. Bam. All right. Well, we can definitely make it happen. So, well, good luck to you guys on the shows that you get on. And hopefully you'll come to Michigan and we'll be able to meet you and hang out and have a whiskey together.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Cool.
Yep. Have a good night, guys.
Yep. You too.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
So, damn it. Okay. So, God, I can't help but say it. I hope you all liked the interview, enjoyed it, laughed a little, maybe tinkled in your pants a little. I don't know. Maybe there's some 60-year-old woman out there that's lately incontinent listening to our podcast. I have no clue.
Okay.
It's possible.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk about current
events.
Current events. They are, as of right now, from when the date that we published this. They are touring. Tomorrow night they have the Rise of the Losers Festival.
Yes, it is. Let's verify that this is the case.
I got a whole bunch of our friends that are playing that show. The guys from Saul are there. Reign of Z will be there.
Yes, it is the 6th annual Rise of the Loser Festival.
Yes.
How Rise of the Loser? How do losers rise? I don't know. But it's in
all
Muncie.
All losers should rise and take over the world.
Yes. And then we'd be a world of losers. It's the 6th annual Rise of the Loser Festival in Muncie, Indiana.
Hopefully it's a success.
Yeah. Red Saul Losing September Morning, X Factor 1, Normandy, Heart Sick. Yeah, I mean a lot of Handsome Pete. I keep on hearing the name of this band. Yeah,
we might have to check them out.
Original.
This is not a promotion for.
It's not. No, we're not promoting.
Dead Originals
crap.
Are on there too.
Yeah,
Mr. Paul Wanicki.
Yeah, telling you. Let's see. What does it say?
Yeah, we love the Dead Originals and Bedlam and Smells Like Nirvana.
Well,
he's got a few bands.
Yes, he does.
Balls
in your mouth. What?
They currently toured with Smile Empty Soul. But yeah, they're seeing a lot of success, and we wish them nothing but the best. And we hope that they work on new material soon and get new material out.
I hope so. I'm going to have to message them and be like, so what's going on, guys? What's happening? What's up, you sexy beast, you?
What's up, you sexy motherfucker?
Why do we assume all gay men have lisps? I don't really think they do because I work with a gay man. But
he doesn't have a lisp.
Mm.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just don't hear it anymore.
I'm sure.
You just don't hear that lisp.
No, I would hear it if he did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
We hope everybody enjoyed this episode.
Yes. Episode number 14, and the next one will be 15.
We said sad that Jamie is not part of the band anymore, but he is finding his own success.
He's finding
the band.
His way.
So, I think he is a part of another band, though. Oh, yeah. He's part of Dead Eyes.
Dead Eyes. That sounds mischievous.
So, it is sad to say that Jamie is no longer part of Rise Among Rivals, but he is a part of another band, Dead Eyes, and he's doing his screen printing business. So
His screen printing business.
I need to pronunciate my words a little bit.
Enunciate.
I need to enunciate my words a little better.
Clear speech.
I don't have clear speech. I barely speak English. Anyway.
All right. Enough of your tomfoolery and shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
All right. Now that I've put that in everyone's head.
Shenanigans.
And you can thank me later.
Shenanigans.
We're going to say bye-bye.
Shenanigans.
Bye-bye.
Shenanigans. All right. Bye.